The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
It was a big weekend of wrestling in Cape Girardeau and around the world, or at least in the United States, and we're going to talk about that here tonight on Pro Wrestling Unscripted on the Podzilla 1985 Network. Thank you guys for joining us once again. My name is Shannon Young. I am Mr. 100. And down at the end of the table, I usually make a joke there. I'm not going to make it tonight.
Well, there was just a pause. And I was like, am I supposed to introduce myself?
Well, no. So Barry asked me the other day if I was going to start calling myself Mr. 250 now because of that Facebook thing. So I remembered that joke and I was going to make it, but then I remembered no one knows what's going on with me on Facebook. So that joke would just be lost on everybody. So
it's lost on me.
I'll explain it to you after the show.
Yeah.
That thing. I got it.
That voice you hear, that's Asa Gray. He's a 5-star man.
I am.
And then we have Ali, one of the premier artists and designers in Cape Girardeau, to my right.
Hi.
He completed a thing today.
A painting.
I legitimately loved that painting.
Thank you.
She likes bears.
Yeah.
That's why she kind of got the nickname, not actually A-Bear.
My last name is A-Bear.
Don't say that on the air.
Well, easy with the amount of personal information that gets put out on the show.
Yes. So, did you start doing the bears before we called you that, and you kind of, we adopted it to your name, or... Did we give you that nickname first, and then you started doing the bears because of what we said?
She made it a bit.
Did you turn the bit into art, or did you turn the art into a bit? 5 seconds.
More so you turned the art into a bit, because I was doing the bears before. But I'm pretty sure you got the bit from my name.
Oh, I did, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's how that works.
Actually, I got it from Vivica A. Fox.
Okay.
Because it was on a running joke in, I think, Honest Trailers, that they call her Vivica, still not actually A-Fox. A-Fox, yeah. So, A-Bear. The Big D, Dalton Anthony, to my left.
Yo.
Let's just jump into this. So.
All right, soy boys, here we go.
No, we're done. We're done with that bit.
Let's start off.
You got a lame mouse in your pocket?
Let's start off with the Elimination Chamber. That was on Sunday. I'm going to be completely honest. I did not see all of it. I did see the two chamber matches and the tag match. That's all I know.
You got most of it then. Honestly, like, really good event. Like,
the
work was awesome. Like,
the women's chamber match is probably one of my favorite chamber matches.
Yeah, like, that we did see that. That was incredible. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then shout out to Alexa Bliss at that in ring, the segment after, because it was perfect. It's exactly what it needed to be. Because she was.
Line sinker.
Cause, all right, so I'm sitting next to Asa, and she's doing the whole.
She immediately starts with like she starts sobbing up, like the "you deserve it." Just she thanks the fans, and she goes into that stupid friggin' like it's such a, you know, this means so much to win the first women's elimination. Oh, I hated it.
And yeah. I'm like, I'm sitting by him. I was like, she's gonna turn it. It's gonna turn. But then it kept going, and I kind of started like.
And it's hit for everyone
because it kept going. Oh, it kept going, and I was getting so legitimately mad.
I told Allie during that segment. I said, "This is why Asa was so pissed off at the Royal Rumble, because this is stupid. Like, this is not her character. She should not be thanking the fans."
And then she somehow makes her eyes not watery anymore. Like on cue,
it's like she's good at this.
Yeah, like
take well, notes, no, like, Rhonda.
Yeah, but it's one of those where like. Her eyes change, and at that second, and she's like, "In all reality, none of you are this good.
None of you will
ever get that's
amount
what it was
to anything."
Yeah, and it's just like, and that's where I was like, "And that's best segment of the year."
And I just was like, "Oh, thank God!"
See, I kind of half expected because they kept showing Sasha. I kept half expecting her to turn heel, and for it to be like a double turn where maybe
I'm so glad they didn't do that.
Where maybe Alexa, you know, saw the light because of all the women's stuff, and she's empowered. I don't know. Then Sasha was like, "No. I'm pissy because I want it." But they didn't do that. They kept it with Alexa being a bad guy and Sasha being whatever.
I also was very disappointed that it didn't seem like they went full on heel with Sasha. But then the thing that happened on Raw kind of made that better a little bit
with Bayley.
Yeah, although they did go full, you know, Scar and Mufasa. Long live the king! Kick, kick. I love that women's match.
That was really good.
That was really good. The tag match was fine. There was no part of me that ever believed that.
So can we go to the women's match just for 1 second? Because there's something we didn't mention that I really want to mention. Who were you most impressed by in that match? Because me personally, I thought Bayley knocked it out of the park. it was so believable the way she fended off like two people at once.
Right.
I thought it was the best, and she's really good lately, but that was incredible.
The thing that really, that I loved, and Dalton and I and Jesse talked about this on Sunday, was when they actually had the people on a team, they didn't do the BS, oh, well, the one person left, so I guess we should fight now. No. Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose mm-hmm. did nothing but work together.
Which makes sense.
Up until yeah. the moment that Sasha did turn on Bayley, which is actually a part of her character, they did nothing but work together. There was no tension. There was no teasing a standoff. They like even kind of united to be like, oh, no, we're just going to work on you. And it was like, I loved that. But I think the two that I was most impressed by, because you're absolutely right, Bayley showed up, which... It's not through any fault of her own. It's through the way that her character has been portrayed on Raw.
Right.
It's been a while since we've really kind of been able to see that, and I missed it so much.
Me too.
But I have to say, I think this really puts some credibility to both Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville.
Yeah.
Because they worked together really well.
Nobody had a bad match out of that. Like, everybody came out looking better than when they came in, which is what that's supposed to do.
Right.
Also, and I know we've had this chamber for 2 years now. This is the second time we've had the new chamber. I love this new chamber so much more. The fact that the pods don't reach to the turnbuckles, like there was actually some really neat spots where like they were throwing him into the front of the pod.
Yeah.
And wrapping around, like that was cool. You don't have that awkward moment where you have to go inside the ring just to get to the other side of the pod.
Yeah.
Or the other side of the chamber. Like I just, and the fact that it's not chain link at the bottom anymore is also really nice.
Yeah.
Like that new chamber is just so, I love it. So much. Apparently, the glass fogs a lot easier than the last chamber, or nobody's never tried it.
So one thing I didn't like about that, you mentioned the chamber itself. I told Allie this at the show. I did not like the lighting in the chamber. It looked weird.
We're not,
like where they were all lit from the bottom.
We're not used to seeing people where the shadows are opposite, because we're used to having light above people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it looked odd. I mean, it's a nitpick.
Right.
Nitpicking. But that should have been the main event. Because that, even though that men's match wasn't bad, but boy, do I have things to say about it.
I see, and I don't necessarily, like, I get that it's for the, you know what, with how the main event ended and how the women's ended, like, in retrospect, I could see how the women's could have main evented it, but I get why they did the men's one.
We'll get to that. Oh boy, will we get to that.
Let's see, there was a tag match, I'm trying to think of.
Which was kind of boring.
There.
It was fine.
I mean, it was what it needed to be.
It was another good showing by
Apollo.
Apollo, but also the bar. Like,
well,
yeah.
Boy,
every
time I see Apollo, I go, man,
he deserves so much.
And it's not that I like Titus O'Neil.
Right.
Like, he's not the best wrestler. He's serviceable. Mm-hmm. He's a goodwill ambassador. So I don't hate him. I like Dana Brooke. I wish they'd do more with her.
Mm-hmm.
But damn, when I see Apollo, I think that's a champion right there.
Yeah.
And he's this.
Hopefully one day.
Love the bar too, of course.
Yeah, the bar is great.
I actually told Lindsay, I was like, Lindsay, stop. Because we watched two matches of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Lindsay, turn around. You have to see this. This is the coolest thing. Their intro is just the best. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. I feel like there was other stuff that we
Bray Wyatt versus Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
It was fine, but like it didn't end anything. It didn't finish anything. It was just another trading a win.
And it led to, I know we're skipping ahead a little bit, but the Raw segment with Bray Wyatt versus Heath Slater.
Heath Slater, yeah.
Where he beat him and then he got in the corner and said, man, you made me hurt these innocent people. And I was, the whole time I'm like rocking back and forth going, no, you want a wrestling match against a guy who's being paid to wrestle you. This is so stupid. The Great War continues. It's awful, right? Am I wrong? It's awful, right?
Remember like back when they started it and I said, I absolutely hate it.
Our fear? Your fear?
Oh yeah, no, I did not give them a single benefit of the doubt, and I'm happy I didn't.
It's awful. It's just, it's unbearable.
Now, and again, like, they can still, you can still do something, but.
He did tweet out about, the Great War on my own on my terms, on my battlefield.
You know how you fix it? You have Jeff Hardy come back as Brother Nero, siding with Bray Wyatt. That Bray Wyatt got to him first and washed his brain.
No, you have Jeff, if you're gonna have Jeff versus Matt, you don't have Brother Nero. You have Jeff versus Broken Matt.
Right.
And then that's how you get Brother Nero.
And then you
Nero.
Break. And then, yeah, you're just rehashing what you did in TNA, but you break Jeff.
But unless Wyatt breaks him first and creates a monster.
So are we going to have a Jeff Hardy on a pole match? Like, I don't get what you're really getting
Bray
at.
Wyatt on the pole, idiot.
He beats Jeff Hardy in just a match. And then he's broken.
Oh, and then he becomes obsolete because he lost the match.
Right.
See, I would assume more you have some backstage segments where you have Bray talking about, you know, show him like, mentally torturing somebody, but you don't know who it is. and then you have it be Jeff Hardy, and then that breaks. That's the only way you can up the stakes in this, or make it Rebe Sky, or make it King Maxwell. Something has to happen.
I love that you're not bringing in Senior Benjamin. You heartless man.
Senior Benjamin don't turn.
He's unbreakable.
He's unbreakable.
Bruce Willis.
Never lost.
God.
They so baller. What's up?
This feud is, and if it turns out to do they do a great war in Cameron, North Carolina at WrestleMania, and they make us sit and watch a screen at WrestleMania, I'm gonna lose my mind.
Asa has not had the best luck live at WrestleMania.
No, he's gonna have an amazing WrestleMania this year. Shut up.
It's a fact. I'm kind of 0-1. We did miss Nia Jax versus Asuka. This might be my favorite Nia Jax match.
Yeah, it was really good.
Because they finally it's like Sarah always says, they let her be big. She was just big and dominating, like, the whole time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the win, like, her losing was done really well. Like, Asuka genuinely looked like she was in trouble for a stretch. And then the ending segment with her just, you know, plowing through the barricade was...
That was good.
Good.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that match. I've seen some people have been kind of critical of it, but... I dug it. I'm a fan of Nia Jax, though, so.
And it's good to show that Asuka does have weaknesses.
Right.
It's, you know, it doesn't take 7 finishers to put her down.
Right.
Is that, please tell me that's also.
I mean, we got Rousey.
Well, and then
God.
Which, all right, we can sum this up really quick, though, with Ronda was not good.
Here's how it is.
Kurt Angle was salvaged that whole thing.
Kurt Angle was F. For phenomenal.
Yeah. No, yeah.
I don't know why that got me.
Here's the best way to describe Ronda Rousey at the segment. Have you ever walked in on a significant other while they were naked? That's the feeling you got watching that segment. It was awkward. It was awkward and you didn't want to see it and you couldn't wash your eyes anymore.
I think we're learning more about Shannon.
I was going to say.
I don't have any significant others. No, that's not what I meant to say. Family, brothers, sisters. Anyway, moving on.
So it's like walking in on family naked.
Yes. What did I say?
You said walking in on other naked.
Jesus Christ, I am tired.
Awkward and like.
I wonder why you were giving me that face. I'm like, I'm not that stupid.
Well,
yeah, I meant sister or brother. It was super awkward. My 1-2-3 cents with Kevin Huntsberger was talking about it. I actually replied to one of his videos when we were talking about the Ronda Rousey thing. And he said he was curious to hear our thoughts on, on all of it. Because my comment was that Ronda Rousey in the WWE is Jeff Goldblum's argument about Jurassic Park. They spent so much time wondering if they could. They never asked if they should. Because so far, she is 0-3 in my personal opinion on appearances in WWE.
I liked Monday Night.
It's getting better.
Well, yeah, no, like, I liked Monday Night a lot, though.
But, boy, if there's ever been a case of she wasn't ready to get on a mic in front of a crowd.
Yeah, she was very clearly, nervous. And it's the thing I said in the group chat, like, boy, it's kind of rough when Stephanie McMahon and Triple H are the best parts of your segment. Like,
and Kurt Angle.
Like, that's what's making it watchable. Because Kurt was great. Like, because her promo they did a good job of trying to, like, endear her to wrestling fans by saying, I don't want a private dressing room. Even though we saw... her private dressing room.
She doesn't want special privileges.
So,
like, she doesn't want special privileges, even though she has a match at WrestleMania already.
Right. John Cena doesn't even have a match at WrestleMania.
Well, he's working for it.
He's working for it.
Yeah, and Ronda Rousey just shows up. But I get what they were trying to do. It did not work. Like, her delivery was not good. She needs a mouthpiece immediately. But the whole, like, little side view of Kurt Angle and Triple H, like, clearly kind of having an argument where it was just like, okay, it's just enough. Like, it's not enough to entirely pull focus, but it's just enough that you can notice it.
Yeah.
It was perfectly played.
It was amazing. And then the whole, like...
Can I say it? Please let me say the line.
No, because I'm in the middle of talking. Go for it.
Just the line of Kurt Angle being like, oh, yeah, no, ever since WrestleMania 31, 3 years in the making, 3 years and now we own the... And then Triple H, like, shutting him off. Like, all of that stuff was great.
Said he had the flu and he was in, he relapsed his flu.
Yeah, said he relapsed, was like, ugh.
So that was good, but Ronda Rousey, I don't know how to say this without sounding insulting, because I don't want to be insulting to Ronda Rousey, but this is a big case of, here's someone they got because she was a big name, and she doesn't fit in yet. I think she could.
I genuinely think, like, this is just a case of, like, nerves.
Yeah.
Like, first show nerves.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, there's no reason to think that she won't get better.
Well, no, but what usually happens when they get someone new in? Send them to NXT. Have them practice. Ronda Rousey's literally going from the frying pan to the fire.
Right.
Like, they would not do this with most people.
But she also, like,
Is just because she has UFC training doesn't mean that she should.
Well, no,
you know,
but she also like isn't. I don't think like Shayna Baszler is a name that definitely should be on NXT. Ronda Rousey is someone that you skip NXT for, and you like if you're going to do something wrestling related with her, you have to do it on the main card.
But at least give her some seasoning, somewhere, some practice, house show, something. Let her get used to it.
You can't have her show up in a house show.
I know, but if you
put her
out in the crowd though, it's just like it's throwing the sheep to the slaughter.
But it kind of has to be like
it's a sink or swim moment, and so far she's gasping for air.
Like luckily, but she has like Stephanie and Triple H and Kurt Angle to kind of like,
imagine if they put her in a program.
Roman?
Well, if they put her in a program with someone like, I don't know, just any random, like Alicia Fox or something, just to give her an easy victory, that would be death for her. Not having a strong character like Triple H or Stephanie to carry her.
Well, that's the whole thing though, like you cannot start Ronda Rousey with an easy victory. Like you can't do that with her. Like you literally have to come out of the gate swinging with her.
I kind of feel bad for Ronda Rousey, though.
Well, yeah, no, and it's one of those, like, it's the whole thing with Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar is not God's gift to microphone work. He doesn't have to be. He has Paul Heyman, he gets to go into his German suplexes F5 call tonight. Ronda Rousey should be the exact same. Now, granted, I don't think she wants to be that. I think she legitimately wants to, like,
Be a wrestler.
Well, that's not fair. Brock Lesnar is a wrestler, but she wants to be an overall sports entertainer.
I guess you didn't watch Monday. Brock Lesnar hates wrestling.
Well, we'll get to that.
We're getting there.
Oh God, we don't have enough time.
But yeah,
but you
get what I'm saying though. Like, I think she wants to. Like, she should. Like you said, she needs a mouthpiece.
Yeah.
And Heyman would be perfect for that, if not for the fact that
he's wrapped up in Lesnar.
Yeah, yeah. That being said, like even Sunday night to Monday night, like her stuff with Monday night, that was still like it wasn't phenomenal. It was still way better. And it wasn't because she wasn't being like, oh, I need to get the fans to dare me. Be like, no, you don't worry about the fans right now. Worry about the storyline. Like, Stephanie, you need to apologize or I'll rip your arm out of your socket.
By the way, that's
all you had to say.
But that's also stupid. And I said this when we were watching it because let's rewind what happened. She put Triple H through a table. Stephanie slapped her in response. Now she's demanding an apology for the slap. Bitch, how about you to apologize for putting Triple H through a table?
I mean,
you put hands on him first.
Yeah,
you...
but he was walking up aggressive. That was self-defense.
He also did put a hand on her to separate them.
Yeah, Dalton made that argument like, no, that's not an excuse to beat up the person trying to stop the fight.
Well, I mean, if you're Ronda Rousey, maybe it is.
I think we can all agree that suplex was clean as shit, though.
Yeah, it was
pretty.
Allie, what do you think? What do you think of Ronda so far?
I didn't see Monday. I'm gonna be honest.
So all you've seen is the point.
Yes.
The multiple points.
The multiple points.
It's the damn radioactive. Watch out, radioactive.
I will say the moment on Monday Night Raw where she said you need to apologize, and Stephanie comes in like really hard, and she's like, I'm so sorry. You threw my husband through a table. You put my husband through a table.
Even she admitted it.
And she's like, I overreacted. I didn't know what to do. I am so sorry.
I overreacted to you physically assaulting my husband.
I mean, he put a hand on her.
That Kurt sucker punch.
Oh, that was cool.
That was pretty cool.
The only thing I don't like about it, like the thing that I hate the most about it was Stephanie on Elimination Chamber when she did that, who do you think you are?
It's her Vince impression.
It is insufferable.
Yeah, it's bad.
When she's that way, she is insufferable. All right, let's get to the men's because we're at about 20 minutes into this. Let's get to the men's Elimination Chamber because I thought it was really good when we started watching it and then I hated it.
Really?
Absolutely. I am 100. You're going to hate me for saying this, but that match almost made me hate Braun Strowman.
No, but you hate Braun Strowman because you know he's not the one about to go headline WrestleMania. He put in that performance.
Well,
he's just like, question mark, what are you doing with him?
Not only that, but the fact that I get wrestling is scripted and I get they're trying to put him over as a monster. You don't have to make him such a monster that you write yourself into a corner that no one could ever beat him.
Except
you cannot tell me any single wrestler in a one-on-one match could ever beat Braun Strowman, ever.
Roman Reigns hit a spear, though, and pinned him.
But that was after, what, two Superman punches, two spears, which was stupid. But the segment I'm talking about, the exact one, was the Cerebrus Bomb, followed by the Attitude Adjustment, followed by, I think, one more. He took, like, four finishers in a row and kept kicking out.
Did he take
Finn? He took the curb stomp. I don't know. I think the only one he didn't take was
He took the coup de grace, but he rolled
the skull,
out.
Yeah, he didn't take the skull crushing finale.
Yeah,
because it was the curb stomp into the AA into the Cerebus Bomb.
But he took so many finishers and kicked out, and kicked out easy. It wasn't even a struggle. And I thought, bullshit. This is stupid. You have now taken Braun Strowman. You tell me that he can lift semis. He can lift ambulances. He can take multiple finishers and kick out like it's no problem.
And it only takes one F5.
And I swear to God, exactly. It takes one F5 to put him down. If any wrestler ever pins him ever again off a finisher, I will stop watching.
But that's how dangerous the F5 is.
Stop talking. Why are you still talking?
I feel like it's not going to be so dangerous in April.
No, it's the thing where I loved it, and I'm mad because I genuinely for a minute believed Braun was going to win it. Like, because boy, him taking out all six other guys.
Yeah.
And then going into WrestleMania is like, okay, that is the clear path of destruction of a monster.
Yeah.
Like him fogging up the glass, just like standing too close to the plexiglass. Like, it was amazing. Like,
he was great.
I loved the chamber match. I hated that. Yeah. Now you have built Braun Strowman as like the fit. Like, he is someone you could make the face of your company.
Yeah.
You could put the company on his shoulders and it would be fine.
He could be the new Hulk Hogan.
But then he just loses to Roman Reigns, which again, like, no problem with Roman. Like, I'm bummed that's how it turned out. And I'm bummed that that's how they felt the need to make Roman look so strong, is by making Braun look so incredibly unbeatable.
For Roman.
But then Roman can beat him. Well, so of course Roman has a shot against Brock. Because that's what it is. Like, that's the story they're telling. And yeah, it's
that whole ending was just terrible.
They knew what they were doing because they had Braun manhandle Roman after the match to send the crowd home happy.
It would be a comedy of errors if it weren't so tragic.
Oh.
I hated that.
I loved Elias. Although the worst part of the Elimination Chamber match was clearly he didn't have his guitar in the pod the entire time.
Yeah.
Whenever he opened and he just like gently slid it and just kind of leaned like, no, I'm, yeah, what? What's going on?
Other than that, like, I didn't mind Braun beating all five people.
The match itself was amazing.
Right. Like, except for the fact that you don't have to make Braun look this strong. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't. Because again, I'm thinking too much. Because in 3 or 4 months, someone will beat him with two finishers and a pin him. But do you get my frustration?
No, yeah, absolutely.
It's like you build Superman up so much, then Superman takes one punch, and in movies, you see Superman get shot with bullets, missiles hit him, but then someone will punch him once, mm-hmm. and he'll like go,
It's the Flash thing.
But why?
It's the Flash thing. I just saw you completely rearrange a room in 4 seconds, and like, you went and bought furniture in that time and built it, but then a bank robber will punch him in the face.
Yeah.
Like, no.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Then there's the Roman thing.
I genuinely think, like, the reason, because normally I'm genuinely surprised that I'm not angrier about this.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed the match, and it was one of those, like, it was a foregone conclusion to me that Roman was going to win.
See, and that's what it was, is I knew it was
a
coming.
A year in the making. That's the frustrating
Four
part.
4 years in the making.
But a year for sure, because we learned last year the plans for Mania, Brock versus Roman, and we all went, well, that's stupid. No one
Clearly
wants that.
They won't do that.
But they kept it going. They kept the course. Allie, tell me that I'm right, please. that was bad. Allie, please.
I mean, if they could have had Braun maybe find a way out, like reverse the finishers or find a way to not, like whenever, with the coup de grace whenever he rolled out of the way, that would have probably been better.
Or... what I hate is they rely on finishers now for drama. And I hate that. Mm-hmm. Like, make it a big move. No, like, the Cerebro Spawn would have been fine because that's not a finisher, technically. Mm-hmm. But you could do big moves and Braun kicks out of it and everybody goes, wow. But when they do this whole thing now, it's every match.
Well,
everybody kicks out of finishers.
The problem with that, though, is because, like, look at Sami Zayn's Blue Thunderbomb. Huge move. He's beat one person with it. And that was, like, 2 weeks ago was the very first time that's ever happened. So you kind of, like... It's the way that they do the matches, though, is like, I love the William Regal philosophy on it of signature moves should end matches. People should be able to use signature moves to end a match. A match could technically end
on
any given move.
Right.
Finishers should be the absolute. It's the finish. That's why you call it that. Like, and that's the style that I've always enjoyed. Like,
I agree.
That philosophy that I've always enjoyed, but that's just not... that's not what they do.
Because
it's just, we kind of have to.
It's like when you see someone hit a finisher, you know it's over. And that's the pop. When Hogan dropped the leg, everyone cheered. Mm-hmm. When Macho Man dropped the elbow, everyone cheered. But we're getting to a point now when you hit a finisher, it's expected. Well, if you're in a pay-per-view match.
Yeah, it's 0.5%. It's 0.5 times damage. They're nerfed.
Unless
it's WrestleMania, and then it's 0.25.
Or you're playing as
Brock Lesnar.
No, Brock Lesnar.
Then it's 0.5 or 5.0.
It's times 10 damage.
Yeah.
He's got his multiplier all the way up. So, and he starts with 6 SmackDowns.
So basically, WWE, we know you're listening.
Clearly.
You're a huge fan. So please buff finishers at network specials, nerf Brock, and maybe, you know, do something about Roman in the next patch.
Yeah. Because he's getting
Roman's meta placement is a little too high.
I think Buff Balor. That's another one. Add that one in.
Well, I think there's a glitch with Roman's character because when he comes out, I know he's supposed to get cheered.
Oh, you mean there's an audio issue in the
game? There's an audio issue. Yeah. They boo him.
Yeah, fix the audio sync.
All right, so let's skip ahead to Raw.
Also, can you fix the crowd so they can count with the clock on time?
That's always annoying.
I gotcha.
That's always annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
especially when there's like the one dick who's just like yelling the proper timing, throwing everyone else off.
Let's talk about Raw. let's talk about Roman Reigns on Raw because this is another big story. So Brock Lesnar was not at Raw, and
advertised to be at Raw.
The internet was kind of ablaze with it because the big rumor was that, like Roman Reigns said in his promo, that Brock was hanging out with Dana White. He took a picture in the UFC shirt. Is this Brock kind of, you know, trying to place himself so he gets a better deal? Probably. But also, Roman cuts this scathing quote-unquote promo where he tears Brock Lesnar down, says, I know the boys in the back don't want to say it. I'm going to get my ass chewed. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it anyway. And my thought as soon as we saw that was, this is what it's come to. This is how you have to promote Roman Reigns to try to get people to cheer him, and they still won't. They'll still cheer Brock Lesnar.
It kind of worked.
They'll still boo Roman Reigns in the end.
It kind of worked until apparently the reports from the dark match said that he still got booed.
Exactly.
But so here's my opinion on the Roman promo. This was the best promo Roman has ever cut.
I agree.
I don't think you can really debate that. Like it finally felt like it wasn't super scripted. It was very clearly scripted.
Right.
But he made it feel genuine and real. And that's good. The reason that I didn't like it.
Oh, I didn't either.
Because I didn't like the way it started with the, you know what, I'm not supposed to say this. So when CM Punk cut the pipe bomb, and when The Miz went off on talking smack, like, and even like to an extent, like when Cena says like certain things, all of these guys, like, they all come from like super real places, and you can feel the emotion. This just felt like this felt manufactured.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, I absolutely believe that there's probably a pretty substantial
grain of truth. Yeah.
And feeling and actual feeling, not just for Roman, but, you know, the rest of the roster. But at the same time, like, this kind of felt like, hey, kids, here's the new, like, you love this thing. Well, we just bought it, and now it's just as good. It's like, it didn't feel genuine. And so,
you know, you could tell it was scripted. Because of how much he was trying to convince you it wasn't.
Right. And the fact that his mic wasn't immediately cut off. The fact that we saw it on WWE television.
I always say it's real people don't have to tell you they're real constantly. Brave people don't have to tell you they're brave. Like, they just are. They just do. So for Roman to go out there and say, they don't want me to tell you this, is absolutely so they're telling you to tell you this.
Right.
Do you have it written down on your hand?
I will say, I think it's kind of genius, though, because it's ballsy as hell for WWE to advertise Brock Lesnar to the local markets there,
and then him
not come.
Yeah,
whether or not you believe he no-showed the event, whether or not you believe he left early, he was already there. All of the other stories. Personally, my opinion is that I think that he was never intended to be there. They advertised him, but he was never supposed to be there. And then it is kind of genius to have, like, okay, well, if you're booing Roman, you're kind of booing the WWE. And say what you will about it and say that, oh, well, you know, WWE sucks, blah, 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 we hate the storytelling, whatever. You're there.
You're watching.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it makes sense, and I think it could work.
If they play it right.
I think the follow-up is going to be super important, though.
Well, Brock Lesnar's only booked for 2 shows so far.
Yeah, he's not going to be on Mania. He's not going to be on the next Raw, but he's supposed to be like the one in 2 weeks, and I think that's in Detroit, I think.
So the I don't know if it's rumor or fact at this point, but that WWE, before Lesnar had gone to the show, they got in contact with him and Heyman and said, don't come. So he was actually booked to be there, and then they had the idea of, oh, let's spin it this way, and then they messaged him and said, don't come, we're going to do this angle. The fact that it just reeks of desperation, that this is where you have to take Brock Lesnar to get anyone to care about this match, that it's such lazy storytelling that you're just going to take this sort of real thing, and you're presenting this as your WrestleMania match.
I don't necessarily agree that it's lazy. Well, just because, well, like,
there's no story though. There's no storyline. The storyline is just Lesnar wants to go back to UFC. Mm-hmm. Y'all should boo him because I'm here all the time.
Our champion doesn't want to be here, but I want to be here. And when I am going to be here, I'm going to be there.
And I hate that because, like, they could tell a story. Like, all right, Roman Reigns didn't get his fair one-on-one shot against Lesnar years ago. Mm-hmm. Seth Rollins interfered. Yeah. There's a story. I'm coming for my one-on-one shot. But no, they had to take it to this place of, we know Roman Reigns is going to get booed out of the building. This is the only way we can spin it.
And honestly, the way that we're getting at now, and it's the complete opposite of the match I'm about to say, but it's kind of like when CM Punk talked about his match with Undertaker.
And Paul Bearer.
Yeah, it's like, we don't need a story going into a match against CM Punk and Undertaker at WrestleMania.
I know I'm in the minority, but I love that.
Oh, yeah, no. It was great. Well, I wouldn't say well done. You were kind of mocking him.
It was tasteless, but...
But I said it at the time. Characters. I think that he would have been fine with it.
Oh yeah, no, he definitely.
His kids wrote off on it, so you know.
Yeah, so it's one of those, like, we don't necessarily need a story going into Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. You have your two biggest hitters in the WWE's eyes. Doing this just kind of feels unnecessary. I hate you sometimes.
I know.
But no, like, in the, so I'm kind of, it's Roman's best promo. I completely agree with you. Mm. You can't say that it wasn't. But this is, it's the most obvious answer. And unfortunately, in this case, the most obvious answer is also the dumbest one. Roman Reigns doesn't hate Brock Lesnar in real life. Brock Lesnar is making Roman Reigns a lot of money right now.
Yeah, so, and that's the problem with it is that it's not. It's just like
there's no reality in it.
It was like Cena and Reigns. Remember, we complained about that because Cena and Reigns don't hate each other. The only reason they did that Cena Reigns angle where Reigns talking about him getting buried by John Cena mm-hmm. is because they knew that, especially with Cena, but especially with Brock Lesnar, that Roman Reigns is not liked by these hardcore fans who don't want him in that position.
Through no fault of Reigns.
Through no fault of Roman Reigns.
Again, we all really like Reigns.
Like, yeah. I really love Roman Reigns. Like, I feel like he wasn't necessarily ready for everything they've given him, and unfortunately now they're just kind of like trying to they're fitting a square peg in a round hole, but he's a fantastic worker. He needs to work on his mic work, but it's one of those, like, they're not giving him the best quality.
No.
They're also not letting him be himself. So when you're not giving somebody the best quality and you're also not letting them be themselves, they're going to look like a turd 85% of the time.
I'm still just very much holding out hope that Braun gets added.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have a clear path to Mania.
He'll probably win the Andre.
They cannot put him in the armbar. They can't.
They're going to.
They can't.
The armbar?
Andre. The Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Oh, wow. I was like, wow. I didn't get that.
Reddit did it for one time, and I immediately just, like, it's stuck.
I don't want it to happen because I don't want Roman to pin Braun to win the title.
No, Brock needs to get pinned in this.
Brock needs to get pinned.
Yeah, he does.
And it's but at the same time, if Braun is in it and Braun wins, then I kind of feel bad for Roman. How many times are they going to go, okay, we're pushing Roman full force. Bring it back. Bring it back. Bring it back.
How many times has he had a world belt, though? Like 2-3 at this point?
Yeah,
for very limited time.
But he's had like a combined reign of like 30-something days. Because someone on Reddit actually made a really good post kind of breaking out. I was like, I think the reason that everyone turns on on Roman is because they really, really start and stop with him.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you know, he go to WrestleMania, but Seth Rollins wins that one. Then he gets this one push, but then, okay, he gets suspended, which, okay, that was kind of not on them.
Yeah.
Okay, now he's getting this other push, but then Sheamus immediately cashes in. So I think it's that thing where it's like, when he finally won it, he did eventually get a You Deserve It chant because he'd been chasing for so long and it had continuously been removed from him. It's just, it doesn't feel genuine because we knew it was always going to be him.
Right. Yeah.
So
it's a bad situation.
I think that the thing that I dislike the most about it though is this idea that Brock isn't going to show up at WrestleMania. Brock is going to be like the dump truck of money that he's making off of WrestleMania. He's not going to no show WrestleMania.
He's not going to no show anything. Like,
he probably would have been there if they hadn't called him and said, hey, don't show.
Right. It's a part of the angle. And that people, and there are people, and I'm trying not to criticize anyone that goes, oh, I love that promo. Cause mm-hmm. I was critical of people who love the Reigns Cena stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got into a couple fights about that. I don't want to do that again, but it's not for me. Like, this kind of storytelling is not for me.
When you base stuff. Half shoot, half work.
If you base stuff in reality, base it in reality. Like, CM Punk stuff was based in reality. When Kevin Nash, I was thinking about this for some reason today. Kevin Nash cut a promo on Nitro the day of X-Pac got fired.
Yeah.
And remember, he said, this was bullshit. My friend doesn't have a job anymore. It was scripted. But it came from a real thing that you knew he was upset about. There's no part of me that believes Roman Reigns is, I mean, he might actually be, but the way you've presented Roman to me for so long now, he seems so phony that I can't take him seriously.
Yeah, it's gotten to the point now to where you've made so many missteps. Like, Rocky Maivia was such a short time in his career.
Right.
This has been the Roman Reigns experiment since WrestleMania 31.
Yes, good point. Yeah.
That's the issue.
Yeah, they've been doing the same thing.
And it's one of those like, yeah, no, the suspension was very much on him. And other things happening, this has just gotten to the point now where we've been dealing with this for over 3 years. And the crowd obviously doesn't want it. And it's the whole thing. That was the bummy thing about the like Elimination Chamber. There was three really good choices of somebody to win that wasn't Roman. You could have had, you could have had Braun.
Braun's the easy one.
Braun would have been the easy one. You could have had Seth Rollins win because the only time Seth Rollins was beating Lesnar in any match, it was a multi-man match where he had the authority behind him. And Orphan Balor.
Yeah.
I think the Demon, like, facing Brock Lesnar at Mania would have been that would have been believable, is that he had to get to there to, like, have Brock Lesnar two Raws in a row come out and destroy him. Like, yeah, that would have cost some money, but you have him come out as the Demon at WrestleMania, have him win, and then you have that moment to end the show. But you went with the obvious answer again.
And can we not talk, but can I mention it real quick? Can we not talk about the fact that Seth and Roman started fighting each other when Braun was still there? What a stupid thing.
Yeah, no,
would take a cheap shot at Roman Reigns.
Especially when it's immediately followed by the Women's Championship match where they
work together. There's
the entire
time. Reason that Roman and Seth should not have put Braun down, pinned him, and then fought it out amongst each other.
Right.
That made absolutely no sense. That was terrible.
That's a trope in wrestling, though. Like, it's one that I don't like, but
me
it's...
Me neither. It's awful. Okay, also on Raw, John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
John Cena doesn't have a shot at WrestleMania. I thought it was a good promo.
It wasn't as good as the one on Raw Talk.
I didn't see the one on Raw Talk.
The one on Raw Talk was probably like, this is an early contender for my promo of the year.
Really? I need to go watch this thing.
Because it's like, it's finally John Cena taking something seriously. It isn't him getting beat down by six dudes and then showing up the next week smiling and ready to go. Yeah. He understands. He's like, okay, it's the midlife crisis, John Cena. Of, you know, I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm as strong as I've ever been. Like, I'm John Cena. Why am I not winning? Like, I don't know what it is. Him, like, finally starting to kind of, like, doubt in himself and not really understand. It's so good. Like, and it was super well done. And again, it's kind of touching on this idea of, like, maybe I'm a hypocrite for really liking this but not liking the Roman thing. But there is a sense of, like, man, my takeaway from it and like the way it hit me is it's like he's looking around the current roster, like the WWE roster is as strong as it has ever been. Say what you will about how they're portraying their characters and like what people in the Attitude Era got to do versus what these guys are having to do. But I would put this roster up against any other roster in WWE's timeline, like bar none. And it kind of seems like he's looking around, he's seeing guys like, okay, I've lost to Seth Rollins. I've lost to AJ Styles. I've lost to Shinsuke Nakamura. I have lost to like all Roman Reigns. Like, man, I'm not the guy anymore. How am I not the guy anymore? He even mentions like, you know, I pursue this success outside of here because it makes here better. It draws more eyes here. And he's not wrong. But like, and it felt genuine. And it felt like, okay, this is also a side of Cena we really haven't seen before.
That human side?
And not even like, you know, fake retirement Cena. Like this one, there's something about this one that kind of set
organic?
It apart. Yeah, it felt different than the few other times we've gotten it.
Right. It's like if they would have put Roman Reigns out there and had him cut a promo saying, I know you don't like me. Like, I get that you guys don't like me, but I'm working my ass off. I'm going to win the title regardless. There would be more people cheering him on that than booing him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to know your audience. I really like Midlife Crisis Cena. I love that you called him that because that's perfect.
I stole that from the internet.
Damn it. Don't admit it. Because it really is. It's that point of that everyone gets to of like, well, I'm still really good, but I feel bad. Like, I feel different. Like, my time almost over?
And it's not even like I feel good. It's like I still am good. I'm not. How am I not winning? How do I, John Cena, not have a match to going up to WrestleMania?
Right.
And then then they kind of undo it entirely by having him just show up on SmackDown. And they're like, sure, pin the champion clean. And now you're in now it's a six-man match at Fastlane.
Which he'll lose.
Yeah.
He'll lose.
I'm hoping he loses because clearly I don't want AJ Nakamura interrupted for WrestleMania.
Right.
Two, I hope that he's not involved in the finish. Like, I
just completely left out.
I really hope it's AJ pins insert name here that isn't Cena, because if Cena is wrestling Undertaker, or if Cena is going to have a big match at Mania,
he shouldn't have a pinfall.
I don't think he should take a pinfall loss at the pay-per-view leading, like, you know, 4 weeks before Mania.
Is this not an elimination match? This is just first pin?
No, this is the way that they are portraying it has me thinking it's a fatal six-way.
Yeah, because Sammy was saying he would lay down for Kevin, and if that was an elimination match, that means nothing.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
All right, so let's... We got to move on. We're at 40 minutes. We haven't talked about the news. Let's move on through this stuff. I love the way you described this super shitty racist New York NXT crowd. So, I know this story because this one upset me.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about this, Allie?
No.
Kairi Sane was wrestling in New York?
No, it was in Florida.
Florida. It was Florida.
It wasn't like the main NXT place.
It wasn't Full Sail.
It was a house show loop they were doing somewhere in northern Florida. I want to say St. Petersburg is in Russia.
Yes, it is.
But it's...
Maybe it's Santa Claus, Indiana.
I'll go back and see if I can find it.
Anyway,
really
point
just
is...
Just keep talking and I'll find the town.
Point is, so they start chanting at Kairi Sane. They chant Happy Ending and Remember Pearl Harbor or...
A group of people... I don't think that was a chant, but people were definitely...
Yelling at her. Remember Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Which, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, usually NXT crowds are at least a little bit smarter... And more beloved
they're very obnoxious. And they love to hijack the show.
But not to this extent. But
at least it's not like
offensive.
Outright offensive. Like a lot of the times it is disrespectful, but it is like, it's at least clean.
But Happy Ending?
Yeah.
Like what a piece of shit they are.
And if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, come on, that's funny. Turn this off. We are not for you.
Yeah.
Like I don't want your listens.
Oh no, I'm on your side.
Okay.
It's like, no. I was like, are you about to defend the people who think chanting Happy Ending at the Japanese wrestler is hilarious?
No, I was going to mention the time that we were watching the one guy at Glory Pro that yelled Ben Affleck movies as he was wrestling, and he yelled Pearl Harbor as he snuck it, like hit him from behind, and you were like, that's messed up, and I was like, no.
That's like the third Ben Affleck
movie.
Yeah,
I was like, no, he yelled like three other Ben Affleck movies before that.
But that's terrible. Like, what a disrespect to one of the best wrestlers going today. Kairi Sane is a treasure.
No.
She's not?
That is not even a reason to say it's messed up.
Well, it's not.
She could have been the shittiest wrestler in Japanese history, and if you still yell that at her, go fuck yourself. Like, there's no...
Well, my point of that is, and it's not a great point, but is that, like, if you are apparently a wrestling fan, and you were chanting at someone who's so good at wrestling these disrespectful things, like, because I could see someone chanting something like that at Kenzo Suzuki. Which, don't get me wrong,
and
I
again,
like Kenzo Suzuki.
That is also messed up.
It is, but they would do that because they think it's funny, because they don't like him, because he's terrible. It's fun to make fun of terrible people.
It was in St. Petersburg.
Oh, you were... Yeah,
so I was close.
Yeah. But that's just awful. Those people should have been removed. They should have been removed
and
banned.
If you go to a show and you were that kind of antagonistic to where you were being just blatantly racist.
Right.
Then, get out.
Yeah.
No refund. Yeah, you lose your seat, lose your ticket money. Yeah, you're... Oh, I paid my ticket. I could say what I want. Sure, but have some decency. Like,
you can't say what you want.
And guess what? Yeah, hate speech is actually not protected. So.
Right.
Did I ever tell you guys whenever my first Raw I ever went to? We were in the very back, and we had a bunch of drunk guys behind us because it was a wrestling event, and they started chanting Chris Benoit. And then about 3 minutes later, three really big guy with WWE badges came up and said, "That was your one warning. Next one, you're gone. No refunds, nothing." They left. Mm-hmm. They were very calm the rest of the show.
Yeah, about that.
That's just a terrible story.
Yeah.
But here's a good story. Anyone that knows Shannon Young knows that he's a big fan of Ultimate Beastmaster. And did I tell you who the new hosts are?
I saw it in the notes.
Damn it. You do read notes.
She reads the notes. Good job.
CM Punk is hosting the American side with Tiki Barber.
Yep.
Which I didn't mind Tiki Barber. I 100% agree with you. Chris DeStefano was the worst part about that.
That was Jesse, because I still haven't seen season 2.
I agree with Jesse.
I like Tiki Barber. Like, he was always really...
Tiki Barber was okay. He's no Terry Crews.
I was going to say, but... CM Punk and Terry Crews.
Oh, baby.
Oh, man.
But Tiki Barber and CM Punk, that's going to be fun. And then on the British side, because I think, Ali, is this the first time England's been in it? Because
I haven't finished the first season.
They went on season 2, and I'm pretty sure they went on season 1. But Wade Barrett is going to be the host for the Britain side.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. I like that.
He's got a voice for it.
They do. We don't have time, though. We got to move on. Big Show's contract ends in April.
Oh, no. That's supposed to say ended.
Big Show's contract ended in April.
No, ended like today.
Big Show's contract ended today.
I don't know why that auto-corrected to April's, but yeah, his because he did an interview a while back saying that his contract was up at the end of February.
Oh, okay.
And so now, and it very much looks like he did what he said he wanted to do, which was no big farewell, no big retirement match, just kind of fade away and let his time run out.
I don't like that.
I mean, I don't either because again, it's that thing where we constantly complained about Big Show constantly turning and like, oh, and him, when him and Kane were just ruining main events for like two straight months. But that's not his fault.
No.
And for the and we even criticized the people chanting please retire at Big Show because Big Show is amazing.
Yeah.
Like easily an argument for best big man of all time.
There's there's a reason that the last show that we all went to was in our memories recently. We went to that WWE show and the crowd was still cheering Big Show on even though we were kind of frustrated with him at the time.
Oh yeah, but he was like the most because they paired him with Enzo and Cass.
Yes.
Against and it was against the Wyatt family.
Yep.
And he was easily like one of the most popular people of the night.
And there's a reason for that, because he is legendary.
Right.
This is off topic, but we've discussed this before. I am so excited to see Andre the Giant on HBO.
Oh, it's gonna be good.
It looks incredible.
Anything? When's that coming out?
Soon, I think. Yeah, exactly.
If it's not already out.
Allie's on it. She's going to check that.
But no, anything Andre the Giant, I just... He was such an interesting person.
And they have such a wide range of people just talking about him. Hulk Hogan's in it, Jimmy Hart, Carrie Elwes, Billy Crystal.
Mm-hmm. I hope they retell the story about whenever he had to go in surgery. And the doctors didn't know how much anesthesia to give him. And the old way of doing that was they would ask you how much alcohol you would have to consume to get buzzed. And he told them, which was a copious amount, an entire brewery. And they said, you are lying. And I forgot who was in the hospital with him. And they were like, no, that's about right. Like, it's a lot just to get him kind of going. You got the date?
April 10th.
Oh, not soon enough.
I got to get HBO.
But yeah.
I actually have a subscription. We'll watch together.
Yes.
I just
finally useful.
I just like that kind of the Big Show's last thing was really putting over Strowman. Of doing
and
like,
doing it well.
Yeah, like between the cage match, like breaking the ring again, almost killing John Cone.
That's just, not cool.
So, I mean, it's like, it's sad to see him go.
Future Hall of Famer.
Absolute 100%, like headlining Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
If it was up to me. And then also, he mentioned kind of doing something similar like Mark Henry as like being a goodwill ambassador, you know, playing more of a backstage role.
Like a Legends contract type thing?
Yeah. And just, you know, being an agent or something like that, some sort of backstage.
I really hope, there's part of me that hopes he's not done, but I mean.
It's that selfish part of you where it's just like, he has absolutely given so much of himself to wrestling.
It's
for so, and think of how long his career has gone.
Oh, yes. It's the early 90s.
I feel like
midnight, like 96.
I feel bad wanting to just be like, oh, but give me like one more, like really good thing.
Right.
Like, because he's a guy that constantly was treated worse than he deserved.
Yeah.
Like it's like they didn't know how to write him.
It was his, Stone Cold interview on the network where he was like, Stone Cold asked him about that and he was like, they're paying me. They're paying me money. I'm going to do what they say. But yeah, no, they booked me poorly.
Yeah.
But when you're accepting a paycheck, you kind of do what they tell you.
Okay, yeah. So.
It's like whenever we watch the new X-Files season, there's part of me that goes like, I don't really need to watch this. Like, they don't need to do another season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the show was good. Let it end. But there's a part of me that's like, but one more season. But I don't want to let go of Mulder and Scully yet.
Yeah.
I don't want to let go of the Big Show.
So, but
he's the biggest friend.
But he's someone who absolutely deserves a happy retirement. And hopefully he can just do whatever he wants now. He can play so much Destiny.
Oh, all the Destiny.
Hey, speaking of video games, Rocket League is adding WWE items in April.
I think that's where the April came from.
Okay.
I think I...
Or did they add them today?
No. It was
they added them 4 days ago.
No, it's definitely supposed to be...
The biggest thing I took away from this was like, man, people still play Rocket League?
Oh, yeah.
I thought Fortnite was the new thing.
I mean, it is, but like Rocket League still has a huge following. And I mean, WWE has been partnered with Rocket League for a while now.
Yeah.
But they mentioned like there's going to be stuff on like Up, Up, Down, Down. There's still going to be commercials on the network, but now they're finally adding WWE items into the game itself.
Is this, I don't think you'll know this, but I'm going to ask. Does this also count for the Switch version?
I would assume so.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the Switch version is the full version. I haven't played it. And I honestly, like, I haven't played Rocket League since I got the Platinum Trophy on it for the
Ooh.
PS4.
Ooh.
Oh, no. It's
and that was
played,
like a year ago. But it's because I played myself sick of it.
Yeah.
Like, I got totally – because I don't like playing online because I'm bad at it. And, like, it's the same thing with, like, playing Heroes of the Storm with, like, you and Jesse.
You like the bot match.
I like the bot match. But I also feel like even in a bot match, if I'm the reason that someone else isn't having fun because I'm not good – I feel bad and I don't want to like do that to my teammates to that. Cause like if it's you or Jesse or someone that I know, like if we have a full team, I don't care because I know you guys don't care.
But you don't want to inconvenience randos.
But the online community and Rocket League is notoriously toxic.
Yeah.
Of just like, oh, well, I mean, yeah, you kind of deserve to have your night ruined, but I still feel bad. If you care this much about like medium bot matches.
Oh, you've heard the story of me and League of Legends, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect example of that.
And so that's why I'm like, okay, I don't want to play Overwatch with only like one or two people.
Yeah, yeah. I hate playing multiplayer games without you guys.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like playing online, especially anything PvP. Yep. PvE, I don't care. Like, I play Final Fantasy 14 all the time.
Oh, yeah,
it doesn't bother me.
Like, yeah, that's kind of like WoW. It's like, okay, well, right. It's kind of annoying that this person is collecting the thing that I need and you can only grab one of them before it despawns, but.
It's okay.
I'll be patient. I'll just jump around.
Hey, did you know that Jarius, is it Jarius?
I don't know.
Jarius J.J. Robertson is going to receive the Warrior Award this year.
Yes.
He's a young man, very inspirational story. Mm-hmm. Seems like the kind of guy would definitely be deserving of this version of it.
Yeah, gone through two liver transplants, lives with like a really rare condition. So I don't know. It's one of those things where I don't know that much about him aside from like that little blurb.
Because he's not a celebrity or anything.
Right.
And he's not somebody they've spotlighted before. Right. It's not like with Connor.
Right. So it's good that like they're doing this kind of recognition at the same time. Like, so Dana Warrior is the one presenting it. Not thrilled about that. Not thrilled that they have a Warrior Award in general. And also it's not what the original idea of the Warrior Award was. Because again, like Jim Johnson is someone who absolutely would deserve a Warrior Award based on what
Kevin Dunn.
Yeah.
Guys like that.
Right.
Bucky Beaver.
But, like, in that being said, like, and I'm not super thrilled about this award either, but, like, good for that kid. Like, that's.
Oh, no, it's amazing.
Like, it's good that he is getting this.
It's something that they should do. They should just call it something else.
Right. Yeah, because, like.
Like the Connor Award?
Honestly, like, that would be amazing.
Yeah. Like, that would be what you should do.
Mm-hmm. The reason they didn't is because, obviously, they were going to work with Warrior. Then he died.
Right.
And I won't.
I mean,
I won't
Connor
make
still
go.
Has a month. Like,
what's that?
Like Connor the Crusher, like they still bring him up. Like he was a big part of the not the breast cancer awareness the month before, where like they were
juvenile
all, that
something.
One. Yeah, I think it was like the juvenile cancer like thing where and like it was the colors they used for the Connor the Crusher stuff.
Yeah,
they're still using pretty much the same logos, I'm sure. Like, the Warrior Award is always one of those things. Like even whenever it was somebody that I knew last year.
Was a football player last
year?
Yeah,
LeGrand. Thank you. Yeah, I just thank you for saying football. That's all I needed.
You're welcome.
Because I was trying to say Rutledge, but he went to Rutgers. But anyway, like I knew who that was, and I thought that was cool. But again, it's just like, but how does this relate back to wrestling? Like, yeah, no, we saw the picture with him in two belts. Like, all right, cool. I mean, it's the same thing. It's Connor-esque,
right?
But it's one of those things. Like, just the Warrior Award. Like we,
it's like they
like you can go on YouTube and see him saying messed up stuff.
It's like they should have used the Warrior Award to do what he originally thought and then done the Connor Award for this stuff.
Yeah. And it's just like, because now we're giving these kids with these rare conditions and that mean a lot to like these performers and gives them like kind of a motivation to do what they're doing,
which is amazing. I'm going
to
look up the Warrior, see what I'm winning. Oh.
Yeah.
He said, like, what about gays?
Like, yeah, no, and it's just... Anyway. This is going to be a thing every year we talk about.
We've talked it to death.
We say that every year.
Let's move on. The Dusty Tag Classic is returning and they have a, bracket up for it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. First round Street Profits versus Heavy Machinery, TM61 versus Authors of Pain, Tino Sabatelli and Riddick Moss versus Sanity, Oni Lorcan and Danny Burch versus Mustache Mountain.
Mustache Mountain, is that
Trent Seven and
Tyler Bate?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. And then the winner of the tournament gets the gets an NXT Championship match against Undisputed Era at NXT TakeOver New Orleans.
That's before Mania, right?
Yeah, that's
so
before Mania.
Mustache Mountain's gonna win it.
I think it's the oil.
I really, really hope it's Burch and
I mean, that's who I want to win it because I love Danny Burch.
Like, I know they won't win it, but Burch and Lorcan would be amazing.
I want Heavy Machinery to win it because they doesn't afraid to eat anything.
This is one that, like, on the one hand, it's a smaller tournament, and I'm kind of bummed that we're not getting, like, the mishmash of teams. Don't get me wrong.
That's how we got the best tag team.
American Alpha.
Yeah.
No. Right? No.
I mean, you're right, but that's not who we were getting at.
Who are you getting at?
DIY.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first one.
Well, I don't know. Gable hasn't destroyed.
I don't think. No, American Alpha wasn't put together in the Dusty Classic. It was.
Yes, they were.
Because
isn't that why they teamed up? But they weren't just randomly paired up. because didn't because Gable was actively searching for a tag team partner, well, and he really wanted Jordan because Jordan had just ditched Ty Dillinger or whatever his name was at the time.
It was Ty. Yeah, still Ty.
All right, no time. Kenny Omega announced that he is staying out of the New Japan Cup.
Yeah, which I think is an interesting dynamic. He's citing because he has to focus on keeping the Bullet Club together. And like, or he has to focus on fighting his friends, which he doesn't want to do. So he's staying. So it's a good way to keep him from like eating pins that he doesn't necessarily need to take.
Right.
Also kind of tying into that, I don't think you probably didn't add it. But speaking of Bullet Club and the Elite and all of that, what the newest episode of Being the Elite is going to show the location for All In 2018.
I know where it is.
Where is it?
Mound City, Illinois.
Oh, God.
Centralia.
I'm good. I'm not going to worry about going.
Vitamin deficiencies. you don't want to. No, that's if it's in Cairo. Don't go to the Cairo show.
Bullet Club is fine.
Yeah, they're going to be at CCW Super Show, too. Represent Stray Hood.
It's a big announcement.
I was hanging on the every word. Anyway.
He was just hanging.
Honor Rising.
Yes. They announced,
that's all I gotta do. I just say that. Go, Asa.
Honor Rising happened, not this past weekend, but the weekend before. We just didn't talk about it. But this is where we got the announcement that the Young Bucks are officially leaving the junior heavyweight tag team division and are going to start competing as heavyweights, which means that they are going to be in the same division as the Golden Lovers.
Which is?
Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega.
Which
because
is the best tag team.
Kenny Omega, that's what Kenny Omega says, that they are the best tag team in the world. And the
Who Young disagrees? Bucks, the Did you disagree?
The Young Bucks very much disagree. Also, yes.
Who's the best tag team?
The Young Bucks.
The Revival.
Allie?
That's not true.
All right. Ibushi and Omega, The Revival, Young Bucks. Who do you got?
The Bar.
Damn it.
You Damn. Son of a...
That's no, such a good answer.
Legitimate, like, my legitimate answer would either be the Bucks or the Usos.
Yeah.
So, but
I do love the day that I had to explain to you how weight classes worked in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, because like I heard heavyweight stuff and I was like, I've seen them. No.
But the Bucks and Omega and the Lovers are actually going to be wrestling at Strong Style Evolved, I think is the name of it, because that's also the show that's going to have Jushin Liger versus Rey Mysterio and Hangman Page versus Jay White for the U.S. Championship. Yeah, Switchblade Jay White.
You left out one of the best. You're not giving credit to the best tag team. One. Are we talking about of all time or just going now?
The Rock and Sock Connection.
Rock and Sock Collection. Wow.
I was going.
Shit!
Good bit, Dalton.
I was going to say American Males. Yeah. If you're post. No. But the Bludgeon Brothers. They just got a new member. John Cena joined the ranks.
Yeah, I saw that. That's funny.
Okay, let's talk real quick about CCW, and then we'll preview Stride, and we'll get out of here. CCW, unless there's anything I missed.
I think
we're good.
So
I think we're good.
I'm trying to think of. Think we talked about all. Cena going interjecting his match. Rusev still hasn't had a match in like 3 weeks.
Rusev Day.
The
he's not wrestling in celebration.
What did Jesse say?
Observation of Rusev Day.
The new day. Uso segment from SmackDown was really, really good because we actually got a glimpse of like intense, serious New Day, which similar to like the Cena thing, it's been so long since we've really seen that side of their characters that it was just a welcome. Like Big E went hard.
Remember when
also Kofi's doing his hair like Killmonger.
Nice. Remember when New Day went forward in time?
Back
yeah,
in time.
He went back in time.
Oh no, who was it? Somebody brought out the future New Day.
Oh, the old day.
And Hollis was there.
No, he wasn't. Yeah, no, he was, I forgot where he told him. I think he said he was in the Galleria that day.
Yeah.
I was talking to him about it a couple weeks back.
God, that was terrible. All right, let's talk about CCW. We had One Night Riot on Saturday.
Yeah.
I know we say this every time and you think that we're just yanking your chain, but it was a great show. What made this show even better was the fact that, and we mentioned this on CCW Live, that the weather was so bad. Like, Cape Girardeau was flooding practically.
Yeah.
The building was flooding. And even with that happening, we had a great turnout. The CCW fans are loyal as hell.
Yeah.
And even when it's dangerous to them, they came out for a great show. We had a lot of great new people show up, including five-star Black Excellence, LVK. We had Silas Morgan. We had returning people in Leo D, KLD, Baracus. Damone was back.
Mm-hmm. Who?
No, Damone. All right. So he said he's going to criticize if we don't mention it every chance we get. If you've ever seen KLD, or as I know him, Todd Letterman. If you've ever seen Todd Letterman, you know that he is a big dude.
Yeah.
Like, this dude is
he's a phenom of just, like, humanity.
Monster huge, but also super fast and agile. Mm-hmm. It's sick.
He's also super nice.
He is.
Yeah, I'm just like, cool. I'm such a big fan of that
and
dude.
And quiet, too. Like, really soft-spoken and cool. Mm-hmm. But he comes off the rope. So, Damone has been trying to get a shot at KLD for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think we'd ever see it, honestly.
Yeah.
But they get in the Rumble, the Riot together. And KLD throws him into the ropes. Damone ducks, he throws him into the ropes, ducks under the clotheslines. KLD jumps up and Damone catches him.
It looks like he's going to do, it looks like he's probably going to do the leapfrog, which a man that size should not be able to do, but we've seen him do it before.
Right.
Yeah. And then, Damone catches him on his shoulders and then proceeds to, like, walk him towards the ropes to try to eliminate him.
And it was just a sick show of strength.
Yeah.
Like, I said it on CCW Live and I wasn't bullshitting. That's one of those moments that, like, will leave an impact on you. Mm-hmm. It's one of those wow.
It got spotlighted by the paper.
Yeah, yeah, it was crazy. It was incredibly good. So, congrats to those to Damone for that really, really making a name for himself in that moment. Very, very cool. The matches were great. Gregory Iron was there, wrestled Ace Hawkins. That was fantastic.
That was so much fun.
It was, even though the rumor is that someone wasn't happy.
It's a little controversial.
The things that happened there,
which
they're really not going to be happy with that promo. Then,
yeah, that's going to be rough. Did you ever message Jason?
No, I need to.
Okay,
I need to.
But so because we did an interview. Which, like, I was really happy with how it came off. Like, I'm really excited to see it.
Yeah.
With Ace and Gregory, who he did not have to agree to do this. Like, and so that was super cool of him. But beforehand, they were talking and, like, okay, so how far can I go with this? And he's like, it's PC culture, but honestly, I don't give a shit.
Say what you want.
Do whatever you want. Because at this point, there's no way he hasn't heard it all by now.
Right.
And so the interview itself was really, really good. It definitely probably crossed some lines that we weren't supposed to, but I think it'll be good.
The idea I had for it was actually more tame than what Ace Hawkins came up with.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a great match. And Gregory Iron, I don't know if he listens to the show or if he's going to listen to the show, but, really cool guy.
Yeah.
Great wrestler. Best theme music ever. I mention this all the time because I loved it so much. He used On Our Own by Bobby Brown from the Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack. Which was just, the moment I heard that, I started singing to it and dancing in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was so fun. It was so good.
I also really like, I think it's a credit to him too, because like they were kind of putting like a little bit of a tough spot, but that's why they were put there of like right after intermission.
Mm-hmm.
And like every CCW show we've been at, that's where the crowd has been kind of at its lowest point.
The dead spot.
It's just right after intermission because people are still trying to find their seats. Like, you know, that energy has kind of, You've kind of hit that lull just because you haven't had action for, 10, 15 minutes.
Right.
And so both of their reactions when they initially came out were kind of on the quieter side. But by the end of the match, the crowd was super into him.
And then the rest of the show.
Yeah. And then carrying that into the rest of the show. And that's definitely a credit to both him and Ace. And then that speech he gave after the match, which was just inspiring to, his story in general is super inspiring.
It is. He's a great, and I said I hope he comes back. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's just a boon to CCW for sure.
We need to make sure that that wasn't, there's not another 10-year gap.
Right.
Between wrestling and Missouri.
And let's give credit where credit's due. Ace Hawkins, because we like Ace Hawkins for the most part. He's a fantastic wrestler. I really think that he is top tier heel in CCW.
Yeah.
He did a fantastic job and he's such a good wrestler.
His entrance with Adrian Surge too.
Love him and Surge together.
Him and Surge together is such a good pair.
By the way, Adrian Surge, I don't know if you guys have talked to him much. Talked to him backstage a lot. We went over notes about matches and stuff. Super nice guy.
I only talked to him a little bit, but
incredibly nice.
He's always been super nice, but I also just like, I wasn't expecting him to be as kind of like funny as he was.
Yeah.
Because him at ringside during Ace's match.
Oh,
like,
God. Yeah.
A lot of his like facial expressions and like him kind of getting at the referee was like really good. And it's like, okay, this like this isn't just like some generic big guy, the heater, quote unquote. Like he's got some real personality, and it's being paired with Ace is a great way to be able to display that.
I'll say Jason, I know Jason for sure, and whoever helps him decide who to bring in, maybe even Lee, because I know Lee's definitely put his hands in there.
Mm-hmm.
But they always bring in just the best talent.
Right? Yeah,
like I can't think of a single worker except one that I never want to see in CCW again.
Yeah, no,
you know.
Which that was pretty obvious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. He mouthed it. the biggest part about this, Austin Lane wasn't there because he had hurt himself at Cage Chaos. And I really wish he was because it never feels the same when Austin's gone.
Really, at this point, it's like anytime anyone's not there.
That's true.
Because
Kelly wasn't there.
The Hustlers weren't there.
That's who I was going to say. It's like between Kelly, the Hustlers weren't there. Like
they didn't beat up Asa.
Dell wasn't there. But then at the same time, it's like, all right, we got Damone back. Like that. Yeah, it felt good to have him there, and it's just like
Damone still acts like he hates me.
It's
he
that thing it. Where it's like, we need to switch to like weekly shows. You know, make them longer so we can get as many people as possible back.
Yeah, and I really
it's like I don't like it's like oh my friends are gone. And so yeah, you're right. It didn't feel right with Austin not
without
being
Austin.
There.
I hope they bring Leo D back. He's a nice guy and great wrestler.
Yeah,
of LVK, really impressed with him. Brandon Barbar won the Riot match.
Yep.
And we'll go on to face Austin Lane at the next show, which the only reason that this isn't the Super Show match is because they've got freaking Tommy Dreamer coming in to wrestle.
And honestly, like I am genuinely excited to see like Brandon and Austin do a match that's not going to be revolved around the Pinnacle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like to have just like what more than likely looks to be a straight up one-on-one match between those two. I'm super excited about
it. I loved seeing the Pinnacle mix it up at ringside with like the administration and some of those, because you never really see those kind of groups like really go at it very often.
Right.
So it was really cool to see. Mm-hmm. SB put in another all-star performance.
Powerbomb Justin outside of the ring.
Justin Smart put in an all-star performance, and I swear to God, he's dicking with me. And he said he's not, but I swear he is every time he comes out. SB, I didn't hear it. And I think I asked you guys this already. I know I asked Allie. But I think she said maybe she didn't hear it. Did SB say the F word after the match?
No.
Because I heard from two different people that said he said this match.
Like after he threw everyone out.
After he threw everyone out and eliminated himself, he said F this match.
Oh, before he eliminated himself.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you meant the Bishop Cage match. I was like,
no.
Why would he say it? Like, I don't remember.
But I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I'm only based this off what people told me, and I didn't hear it myself. So,
yeah.
even if he did, I don't care personally.
It's kind of funny.
I am a grown adult.
Right.
But I didn't hear.
In a family-friendly show, it's a thing that if it did happen, it shouldn't have happened, but it's not.
But at the same time, it was said like 30 minutes sooner.
For the people like, you know, at this table, it's not a big deal for us because, you know.
And if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be SB.
Yeah.
So yeah, just great show from top to bottom. We had some huge announcements. Tommy Dreamer is going to be at Super Show 2 wrestling the winner of Brandon versus Austin, which we honestly don't know who that's going to be.
Yeah. Either way, it's going to be
both.
Fun.
Yeah.
Both. Make it a three-way match. Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
We got freaking Hangman Page is coming in.
I'm so excited for that. I've been a fan of him for so long. Like, and for him to like, he's coming into CCW as he's really kind of like super hitting his stride.
Yeah.
Like I think he's really like done great as a wrestler in like the last year or so, but as a character and like his work with being the Elite of like, no, he's actually kind of the only one that's fully sided with Cody.
Right.
And like, and he's kind of embraced that aspect of his character. And it's just so I'm super excited to see him. And I'm going to try very desperately not to embarrass all of CCW by just like,
please don't
remember that time you drop kicked off one guy and hit a standing moonsault on guy.
Is it really that big?
I mean, not going to ask him that because of course it is.
The crowd reaction to that was huge from standing in the ring. And this is a personal thing, but being that they would let me be the one to like announce that, because Jason announced Tommy Dreamer at the end.
Yeah.
And they could have done that. Like Osby could have, like Jason could have announced it with Osby.
Yeah.
Anyone could have done it. Mm-hmm. The fact that they let me do that, that just meant a lot to me. I don't know if I told them that, but that meant a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very, very cool. It was just a great, great show.
Yeah. CCW is always such a great time. I'm not just saying this because, you know, we work with them, because we were saying this before we had anything to do with them.
Yeah. Back when,
yeah.
But just like,
we were just hoping to get attention, Like I literally was going like begging Austin Lane for attention.
Well, like, cause like, I mean, I never saw it like local, and I want to do what I can to help support it and promote it because it's great. So before we had any sort of working relationship, we were saying like, no, this roster is amazing. You know, it's people you may not have heard of, but like as soon as you do, you're going to go down the rabbit hole of trying to find,
you're going to be hooked
as much as you can, and you're not going to want to miss a show. And I feel like that's something great about CCW. Like I'm bummed that the weather did not hold up, because I do think that they could have done a much bigger number.
Yeah.
Based on just like word of mouth, because I went to the movies last night. There were CCW Super Show ads sitting at the thing where you can swipe your card to get, you know, the thing. Like we're starting to see it kind of pop up. And I think, you know, the weather absolutely, especially like first time fans.
Right.
Like
probably scared him away.
People who want to see, be like, okay, you know, there's a tornado watch, the roads are flooded. It sucked. Like the weather was bad. But when you look at the people that were there and they pulled over 300, there were a lot of CCW like hardcore dedicated fans. And that was amazing to see.
You talk about it taking off and stuff. When we were here earlier today, a guy came in that you went to high school with.
Yep.
What's his name? Eliezer?
Yes.
He came in. And, or L Laser is what I call him. He came in and
sure, he loves that.
He asked, he looked around, he was like, y'all do CCW here? And I was like, what? And he's like, he recognized the wall. Yeah. He recognized where, he's like, yeah, I was watching CCW, the live show. And he recognized it. And I was like, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That this guy just randomly recognized it.
One of the guys I'm training with, he was talking to me about that. He's like, are you the dude that sits in the, like, corner? He's like, are you the one that's always on your phone? He's like, yeah, no, that's me.
So yeah, it's, oh, it's so much, it's a great yeah. thing to be a part of. We obviously get frustrated with it as you do with anything you love. But, pound for pound, it's the best. Also, now that, oh, that just triggered me. Cesaro is pound for pound the strongest person in WWE is what they told us.
Yeah, yes. I mean, for pound, he probably
How much
is.
Does Cesaro weigh?
Like 225, 230.
And what do you think he can lift?
I'm going to show you that video I found.
F ton more.
But how much does Brock, Braun Strowman weigh?
A 380.
All right. He can pick up semis.
Hold on.
No, he can tip over semis.
Yeah, he can't pick them up. That's two different things.
All right. But I still think pound for pound, Braun Strowman's still stronger.
Well, now we're talking semantics, and like now we're doing some really complicated math that I can't do.
Okay. Meanwhile,
we'll go back to where we were. Anyway, CCW, amazing, great time. The next show is on March 24th.
Yep.
It's going to be back at the Arena Building. It is the March Malice 2 commercials go live next week, I think, for this. I recorded them last night at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, I'm tired, and I sound tired, and I apologize. I never am satisfied with my work.
Yeah, tickets go on sale Thursday at 5.
CapeWrestling.com.
CapeWrestling.com, so get tickets.
Get them while
there.
You can, because we know people that could not get front row tickets to the last show that always get them.
Yep.
Yeah. If you want front row, good luck. If you want second row, good luck.
Yeah.
You have to see these shows. But if you're a wrestling fan, you need to watch
it. But a great thing about the Arena Building is there really isn't a bad seat.
Even the quote unquote nosebleeds in regard to this are still great seats.
Yeah.
With that said, with CCW out of the way, because again, fantastic show. We look forward to the next one. Mm-hmm. We do have Stride this weekend.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
Which is another promotion that we've kind of latched ourselves onto.
Like Parasites.
Exactly. We don't necessarily have a working relationship to them, but it's like, no, it's like they're doing an awesome thing. And I
think the reason we don't have a working relationship with them the same way we do with CCW is because, and I'm going to be honest, because they already have like Kevin Huntsberger.
And they have Kevin, and Kevin's awesome. And like,
yeah, my 1-2-3 cents. Mm-hmm. Like he does what we do basically, and he's been doing it longer.
Yeah.
And he has them taken care of. They don't need us.
No. I'm not saying we want to do more with Stride. It's just like,
we do.
I mean, we do. If we were given the opportunity, of course we would
but
love
to. I mean,
to.
They've given us things. Like, they've taken care of us. And, like, we've done Kevin's podcast. Like, it's one of those.
I've met him.
Yeah, no, like, and everybody, like, everybody there's a sweetheart. Like, I've not, like, at Stride, I've not met a single person that I dislike.
But have you actually talked to the Raging Redneck?
I know I haven't got to talk to the Raging Redneck. Edwards, the newest guy from, on the DR party. He's really cool. Cause he was there Saturday morning with me and he was super awesome. He was talking to us. He's like, I like that you guys always rip on Brian. So can we get into it so I can rip on Brian?
Yes. Sleeveless Magoo.
He actually loves Sleeveless McGee.
Spoiler alert. We're not about to say his name. So, because I have the card, it's important to note that the show they have this coming Saturday, March 3rd, is in Christopher, Illinois, at the elementary school.
Yes,
it's
another fundraiser, right?
Yeah, they're doing a fundraiser. Some of the school kids are doing a trip to New York, so they're raising money for that. This is also apparently where both Tony Flood and Stride champion Jay Spade went to school.
Have you been seeing any of the things they put on Facebook?
I've seen a couple of
them. Right, I saw the video
fans,
today.
Anybody that listens to us, please tonight go on Stride Pro Wrestling on Facebook and look at the video packages they're doing for this. Mm-hmm. It is legitimately awesome.
Yeah, they're super cool. I also really like the
video. I saw Tony Flood get
I don't want to talk about
Heath
it.
Heath Hatton scoop slammed him flat onto the gym floor. Mm. And like, so I saw that and like it's like at a pep rally thing, so all these kids are losing their minds. It's like, yeah, I remember watching pro yo-yoers come and do the same routine 2 years in a row.
Oh, my teachers just danced.
You poor thing. I had, I think it was Bob Reeves would come to my school and talk about the weather. You poor thing.
No, they, just told us, awesome. They just
I'm sorry. You said the name of the person who showed up to yours.
That's true.
They just told us not to do math.
But yo-yos. They were hot.
I mean, I absolutely begged my mom for a sport yo-yo that I...
I got one of those.
We all remember that Simpsons episode.
So this Saturday, definitely come check out Stride. It's a good cause, and it's going to be a great show. The card is A.T. Brooks versus Bo Sawyer. Brooks teaming with Joey O'Reilly recently, and then we saw Bo Sawyer, I think for one of the first times, teaming up with Frank Wyatt at the
yeah
at the show at Johnny Logan.
Yeah,
Sawyer's a hoss. I love that dude. His beard is gray. He hides it, but good for him. For getting out. Oh, not
remind me,
we're going
to remember that again.
And then, Brooks, again, just like, before Braun had the, you know, these hands bit, like, he had one of my favorite lines of, these hands are rated E for everyone.
He should keep that.
Yeah, like, that's.
Damn you, Braun.
That's a t-shirt.
Damn
and, like,
you.
And I'm bummed out because more than likely, if he keeps doing that, people are going to think he's ripping off Braun Strowman.
Right.
Even though he said it first. Yeah. You heard it here. I mean, don't get me wrong, like, catch these hands is a thing already, but in wrestling, everyone's going to attribute it to Braun.
Right. And not E.T. Brooks.
We have, Roger Mathis versus Bull Bronson.
That's a Hoss match.
That's another one where it's like reinforce the ring.
Yeah.
Shield
Mathis, the children's eyes.
Yeah. Like Mathis is just, he's so scary. He's so scary.
I've never seen Bull Bronson. I've never met the man.
He's also scary.
He's also a very large, intimidating human being. So this is just going to be one of those like hard hitting, gross.
Stay down. How are you going to beat him? He's so big.
Those little girls that were sitting in front of us, like they were genuinely terrified that Jay Spade was going to die because they were scared that Bull Bronson, and Bull Bronson's a face, but they were still just like, because Jay is just that good at making you think he's dying.
You're going to hear a lot of the sound effect, that thud sound when people, you know what I mean? It's like that. That just
meat slapping meat.
Yeah.
Like just two steaks like hitting each other at 20 miles an hour.
That angle. Yeah.
The tag team championship match is Heath Hatton versus, nope.
Heath Hatton.
We're starting over. I can do it. You shut your mouth.
Do the whole
do
show
it.
Again. Whole
Start
show.
Over. Whole Round show. It up. There's the Stride tag team championship match with the DR party defending against Heath Hatton and Axe Allwort.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Crushing it.
From pillar to rope.
All I
That's you.
I never said from pillar to rope.
You absolutely did. We have it on record. I do hope that this match at some point involves stereo pile drivers.
No!
Unless they fix the ring.
So who's representing the DR party?
Scott and Dexter.
I'm pretty sure it'll be Scott Phoenix and Dexter Oswell.
Oh, by the way, it was good having Jay Wellington Beauregard
at the
CCW show. Mm-hmm. I put a little thing in there for him. I hope he heard it.
Yeah, he did. Okay. He did because he put something on Facebook.
Oh yeah, yeah. I love Aaron. He's he's such a nice guy.
The finals.
Tell you a story about him getting robbed once and knock his socks off.
The finals of the Stride Cup, which also determines the new Legacy Championship, the new Legacy Champion because Chris Hargis had to forfeit the title because he was injured, which is a super bummer.
Yeah, it sucks.
But it's El Magnifico versus Anonymous.
I hate Anonymous.
He's the entire internet.
Yeah, he just, every time I get pissed at someone on the internet, I just
and
see
how,
him.
How is Magnifico going to beat the internet? It's here to stay.
With burritos? I don't know.
With burritos!
He comes in weighing at 120 burritos. Don't give me that.
No, it's 122 pound burritos. I think, cause there's like an extra part to it in the middle there.
122 pound burritos? Oh, I'm hungry
now.
I want a 22 pound burrito.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, it's like eating a small child.
We're doing it.
I think it's 120.
Why do you know what that's like?
Huh?
Moving on. Then there is the number one contendership match for the Legacy Championship, is a four-way match with Ace Hawkins, who, if he comes out to Chumbawamba again, I'll laugh.
If I couldn't hate him more, he comes out to freaking Chumbawamba.
Yeah, we do. It's amazing. Okay, so here's the thing. Because this isn't, you know, the CCW Live, this is, Ace Hawkins wrestling as a face.
It's hilarious.
Is amazing because all he does is wrestle as a heel. It's his same shtick at CCW. It's the cheer for me. He dabs, but he does it at school, so they love it.
Oh, that's going to be amazing!
The only difference is he doesn't wear the guyliner.
Right.
And he smiles. That's it. And it's, I can't believe it works, but it does.
I'm sure he won't yell the same words he yelled at during CCW.
More than likely.
if he does.
So it's Ace Hawkins versus JD Wilk versus,
I miss JD.
For the first time in a while, we've seen, T-Dog.
Ooh,
Jerry Travelstead.
Hey.
So it'll be great to see him again, versus a mystery opponent. So.
Mystery revealed?
No!
And then the, why did I just thumbs down my own post? Oh no, that was Heath's post. Crap. Okay.
And now we're in trouble.
Nope, I undid it because you just have to do it again. I hate the Facebook Messenger app because if you hover for just a second too long, it pops up that reaction thing.
Yep.
And then the main event for the Stride Championship, Jay Spade defending against Tony Flood. I'm super excited for that match. Spade is amazing. Tony Flood is like, he's constantly having like one of my favorite matches of the night.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's like, as much as I love Jay and Mathis working together, I am excited to see Jay kind of work a smaller guy.
Yeah.
So, like, because I think this will be a – because he does great with, like, being believable against the big man. But to see someone kind of closer to his own size, I think they're going to – I think this is going to be a crazy nuts good match.
I do, too. I hope to get to go to it, but I say that every time, so I'm not going to tease anybody. I won't be there.
I'm aware.
Which means I will be.
I'll be driving myself.
See, that makes me want to go
I'm
with you
sorry.
Even more.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to go wrestle. I'm Johnny Two Boot and Tights.
All right.
Johnny Two
Boot. So, since you're saying it and you made that comment, I do want to shout out to Brandon and Mathis for the training ground things that CCW is doing, because we got to the arena at 10 and Brandon at 10:30 started 30-minute cardio with all of us, helped put the ring together with us, and then did literally 3 hours of training where he bumped, where he was helping us bump, where he was doing stuff with us, then got ready, had to interview with the paper, and then wrestled for about an hour.
That's this guy, by the way. I got him that interview.
So, yeah, no, props to Brandon, and then also Mathis.
You know, cheer for me.
Compliment me.
Compliment me.
Good job, Shane.
Thank you.
Thank you. But now I just want to throw that out there. Both of them were, like, the fact that they were willing to do that, plus also do the things that they are doing for wrestling, like their own matches. Like, that was really awesome.
Okay.
Oh, my.
What? What did I do? I didn't do anything. I have no idea what you're talking about. All right, we got to get out of here, I think. Are we out of here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Stride this Saturday. Definitely check it out if you're in the area. If you're not in the area, make the trip, because it's always a good time.
By the way, I watched Dalton at the training camp. I watched him at the training camp working very hard and making us proud.
He did his best.
He did well. He did well. No, there are some people that did less well. Dalton did well. I am proud of Dalton. I am saying that from the bottom of my heart. I mean that. Not because
it kind
of
takes away from
you look like a child.
As robotic as it could have. I am proud of Dalton.
It takes away from it that you're reading it off a cue card.
Well, I wrote this out earlier. I didn't want to. I can't lie on the spot. All right, so we're going to get out of here. No, I'm very proud of you. And I'm looking forward to what you accomplish. Like, I know you don't need to hear me say that because I've told you that personally, but I want that out in the ether. So there you go. And then, Allie, I'm also proud of you. So we are out of here. We're going to be back tomorrow with Podzilla After Dark.
It was one too many Rusev Day jokes. He's not proud anymore.
We'll see you guys tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. Asa, hit us with those links.
Go to facebook.com/podzilla1985. Give us a like, comment on an episode. Give us ideas for topics, whatever you want to do.
That's a good idea.
We like to be as interactive as possible. And also just the Facebook numbers make us feel good inside if those go up. So please do that.
We didn't set a record this month because February is short. Mm-hmm. I hate you, February. You son of a bitch.
You're saying you're rocking back and forth.
It's really kind of unnerving. Go to podzilla1985.com, but do it quickly because, you know, listen to a bunch of episodes so we can set that new record.
Yeah.
But you can listen to past episodes. They just did the new I Want to Believe last night.
Oh, it's a good show too. I enjoyed it a lot. Thank you.
Go there to listen to any of the past episodes, or if you want to listen to us go more in depth about how much we don't like Ultimate Warrior, go back and listen to old Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Yeah.
Patreon.
You can meet some old friends.
patreon.com/podzilla1985. Any little bit helps. We are currently working towards a new soundboard.
Yep.
Or recording software, depending on what you and Jesse come to an agreement on.
All of the money goes toward gear.
The show. Yeah. And bettering the show and things
none
like
of
that.
Us,
so.
None of us get paid for this.
Yeah, no. Like, this isn't like, you know, there are other, like, there are bigger Patreons where that's pretty much their salary.
Right.
Yeah.
Of where you're paying them to create the content. That's not how we use it.
We all have 9-to-5s.
Yeah. We all have day
well,
jobs.
Well, some of us have 8-to-3s, but.
Something like that. And then the newest one. Dear Lord. The newest one is, so we did the website, we did Facebook, we did
Patreon. We're good.
We did Patreon.
Yeah, we're good.
And then there is the newest one of podzilla1985.com/happyrecept day.
Son of a bitch.